I want to welcome all of our campuses, so Siena Cypress downtown, Espanol. So glad to have everybody connected, those watching on the internet or Facebook Live and all that stuff. Man, we're so glad you're connected. I want to tell you two things before we jump into the scriptures. Number one, today at 2 o'clock, we have a deacon and minister ordination service. So if you'd like to be a part of that, that's a great time. It's always neat to see God calling people out to say, we want you to serve in a different capacity. So that's going to be at 2 o'clock at the Loop campus in the worship center. If you'd like to come to that, we would love to have you and handed out a little something about that at the Loop campus earlier in the worship service. So that was great. And then also we want you to know, on Friday of this week at 1 o'clock at the Loop campus, we are going to have the memorial service for our pastor emeritus who's gone on to be in heaven, John Bassanio. So at 1 p.m. right here at the Loop campus, we're going to join together for memorial time to be able to celebrate a life incredibly well lived. That's what we're going to be able to do. If you're not able to make it, we're going to webcast it. We're going to have it on Facebook Live. You can check it out from that place as well, because it is going to be one of those times, I'm sure, that we will leave going, wow, I want to live a life like that. That's an amazing thing. It was an amazing man of God, and so we want to be able to celebrate that. We're going to jump into the scriptures today, so let me give a drum roll. Turn your Bible to the book of Revelation. What's about to happen? We're going to be in Revelation chapter 21 is where we're going to be, and we're in a series talking about the sun. We've been looking at passages of scripture as the big blazing sun of Houston, Texas is over us every day in the summer. We have been looking at passages of scripture that talk about the sun. It's been a really fun series. I hope you've gotten a lot out of it. I've gotten a lot out of it just preparing for it. So we're now closing that series out, which is going to be great. And we're going to kick off next week in 1 John to start. That's the book we're going to go through the coming year. So we'll kick that off. But we're kicking off talking about the sun. We're going to talk about a passage in the book of Revelation that talks about the sun. Now, whenever you turn to Revelation, you ought to go, you always have to say, is this symbolic or is this literal? I mean, what's going on with this? It's a hard book. It's a difficult thing. We're not going to get into all the nuances of all that, but we're going to look at a few verses of scripture, and I want to encourage your heart about heaven. That's what I want to do. I want you to leave encouraged about heaven. I want you to leave going, you know what? My loved one who is there, wow, that's amazing. And I want you to leave going, and I'm going there because I've trusted Jesus. Wow, can't wait to get there. That's going to be amazing. We are enamored by heaven, aren't we? Think of just the kind of the phrases that we have about heaven. We'll say, in the seventh heaven, which is not biblical, okay, by the way. But in the seventh heaven, which means I'm really, really happy. Then we'll say, well, man, somebody is a hard worker. They moved heaven and earth to get this done. That means you did everything you could to try to make it happen. We'd say about something, man, that stinks to high heaven, which means it's terribly smelly, right? That's disgusting is what that means. We could say pennies from heaven, an unexpected benefit or windfall. You get a tax return, you go, pennies from heaven. Wow, that was great that I was able to have that. This one really only works in the South, but we'll know what it means. You know what it means. I was in hog heaven, right? Now, you go to a foreign language or foreign country, they're going to be like, I do not know what you're talking about here, but we get it. I'm in hog heaven. We understand. It means we're having a terrific time. Somebody maybe that's close to death, we'd say, man, they're knocking on heaven's door. We're enamored with things of heaven. You look all throughout the generations, there's different songs about heaven. So you could look back and Frank Sinatra would sing Pennies from Heaven, and you go, oh, man, what a great Frank Sinatra song. Then you baby boomers, a little bit different than Frank Sinatra. Led Zeppelin would say there's a stairway to heaven. A little bit different than Frank. Then if you're in my generation, you probably couple skated to Brian Adams singing Heaven, going around the couple skating thing, something like that, or at your prom. And then now we're all enamored again. It's been around a long time, but man, don't you love that song, I Can Only Imagine? And we just put our eyes on heaven and we say, Lord, man, what an amazing thing. I want to give you four things about heaven today, and I want to give them to you to encourage you that your loved one that's there, this is what they would be experiencing, us when we get there. Now, this is after the second coming, and it's at the end of Revelation, all that stuff, when we get there, all those things, that this is where we're headed. And I want you to be encouraged, and I also want you to know, if you don't know for sure that you know Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm going to really clearly tell you at the end of the message that how to trust Jesus so that you can know you're going to heaven. So Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. We're going to read a couple verses, talk a little bit, then read a couple verses and talk a little bit. So let's start in Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. John is saying this. He says, I did not see a temple in it, being heaven or the new Jerusalem, what we would call heaven. I did not see a temple in it, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because the glory of God illuminates it, and the lamp is the Lamb. Let's stop right there. Here we have the first thing that it says is this. It says there's no temple in this place. There's no temple. So the first point that I want you to know this is we're going to worship face to face. We're going to worship face to face. You're not going to come to church like this. They're not going to go as they were in the Old Testament, coming to the temple to be able to worship. We are going to worship face to face. See, what the temple signified is the people of God would come up in the Old Testament for festivals. They would come up for sacrifices. There was a Holy of Holies section where the priest would go in on your behalf. And they would come to the temple, and the temple was the place that they would, at that place, that's where they would worship God. They'd come to the temple in Jerusalem. A lot of times in our mindsets, we think that about church, don't we? Well, I'm going to go to church, right? When you're a believer in Christ, we're going to be the church is what we're going to be. But we're going to go to church. We're going to go to the place of worship. We're going to get in that place, which is important. We're all for that, no question about it. But God doesn't live here in this room or in Siena or Cyprus or downtown. He doesn't live in a certain building. He is wanting to live in us through a relationship with Christ. So when we get to heaven, when we're there on that final days, when we see this moment here that John's describing, it says there'll be no need for a temple. We will be worshiping face to face. If you just looked one chapter over in Revelation 22, in verse 3, it says, there's no longer any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb, verse 3, will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. Now watch. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. They will see his face. You will see Jesus Christ face to face. Is that incredible? So much that John, in chapter 1 of Revelation, Jesus, he sees Jesus, and Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I love you and I care for you. An amazing thought that it won't be that we're just trying to look at a mirror dimly. We are seeing him face to face. You know, I saw a lady recently. She was washing her car in the neighborhood. And as the hose was over the car and the soap was coming down, she had already soaped it up. Now she was rinsing off the soap. It was already raining is what was happening. And I thought, isn't that Houston, Texas for us right there? There's not a person in this room that hasn't washed their car and the next day it rained, if not the same day. You might have been coming through the car wash and it was sunny and you came out of the car wash and it was storming. And all of us do the same, oh man, wow. But that's how life is, isn't it? It's how our spiritual life is a lot of ways. I'll be in my car and I love a clean car and the inside will be spotless for weeks, right? And so it'll be just perfect. Everything will be fine. Maybe not weeks. That's an overstatement. I am a parent. So it would be for at least a few hours. And so armor-alled, all this stuff, and everything's good, but the outside's gotten dirty again. But the inside of my heart as a believer in Christ is clean because of my relationship with Christ. Jesus has washed me clean. But man, sometimes the outside gets dirty. Sometimes the lenses get foggy. Have you ever had a great time with the Lord where you've been in the Scriptures, you listen to that right song on the way to the office, and then man, 30 minutes in, you're already aggravated. And this is the time you're never going to sin again. And sure enough, there you are again. Man, Lord, you're amazing. You're great. 2 hours later, God, do you even exist? I mean, where are you? What is this whole thing about? And the car gets dirty. It's like it's rained before we even have driven it out of the driveway of trying to wash it. There will be a time, though, in heaven that we will see him face to face. And it will be so clear and so amazing that it'll never be a time that we need to wash up again. We're there. Clean in the heart because of a relationship with Jesus, even on planet Earth, but being able to be there in heaven in a glorified body and saying, Lord, I give all the praise to you. I see you. I see you. Queen Victoria had one of her chaplains preach to her at Windsor, the Castle of Windsor. We all kind of been keeping up with the royal family as of late. And so in Windsor, they gave the message or however you would deliver that to Queen Victoria, and the man talked about the second coming of Christ. And she said this to the chaplain, oh, how I wish that the Lord would come during my lifetime. The chaplain said, why does your majesty feel this desire? And you got everything. You're the queen. I mean, why are you wanting Jesus to come back? Seems like, don't come back yet. I'm still the queen, right? The rest of us have got to, you know, do all the other stuff. We're like, come back, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come. Why are you saying this? The chaplain says to her, and she said this, because I should love to lay my crown at his feet. I should love to lay my crown at his feet. We will see him face to face, and no king and no queen, it won't matter. We're all going to lay our crowns at his feet when we see him face to face. So I want you to be encouraged about heaven. I want you to be encouraged about what this means to know Jesus Christ. That one big change, it's not trying to just keep things going and let's go to church and let's get encouraged and let's go to Life Bible Study and let's try to read a book and listen to a song and do all this stuff. We're going to be there in front of him. Wow. Number two, heaven shines with God's glory. Heaven shines with God's glory. Did you see what it said in the scripture in verse 23? It said, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it because the glory of God illuminates it and its lamp is the Lamb. So it says there's no need for the sun or the moon. Now there's debates upon, is the sun there or is it not there anymore? It doesn't really matter. If the sun's there, here's what it's like. It's like one of those little reading lights that you would have that you'd read before bed, that you would clip it on the back of your book and it had that little thing you could move around and that little bitty light, you click that on. That would be the sun compared to the glory of God. The sun that gives us all of our light. The sun that, if you were to talk about the sun, it radiates more energy in 1 second than man has used since the beginning of civilization. In 1 second. And it says, this sun, there's no need for that. The glory of God will make that look like a reading lamp on a dark night clipped onto a book somewhere. The glory of God. Another space kind of thing. In 1 second, a typical quasar throws out enough energy to supply the Earth's electrical needs for billions of years. Now, I'm not real sure what a quasar is, but I know this. That's a lot of power, right? And it says that there's no need for any of that stuff out when we're standing there in the New Jerusalem and in heaven. What is it? We don't need that because the glory of God shines out everything. What is the glory of God? Big, churchy, kind of, what does that mean? Because we're supposed to live for the glory of God on planet Earth. We're going to be lit by the glory of God here in the heavens. So what is it? The glory of God, you could think about it like this, is the sum of all his attributes. If you were to take the mercy, the grace, the truth, the goodness, the justice, the knowledge, the power, the eternality of God, and you were to put all that together, all those things together are his glory. It's the greatness of who he is. It's everything that he is. So what do we live for on planet Earth? We live for everything that he is, to his glory. What do we see to be greater than the sun or the moon? And it's the glory of God. That's what illuminates. That's what lights up this whole heavenly zone that we're talking about. Heaven shines with the glory of God. Now let me tell you something about the glory of God. This is really important, so I want you to listen. God's glory is intrinsic to him. It's who he is. Cypress, listen. It's who he is. It's kind of like this. What makes water wet? It's just wet. What makes the sky blue? Well, it's blue. What makes the sun light? Well, the sun is light, right? It's intrinsic to what these things are. And God's glory is intrinsic to him. No one gave it to him. No one's going to take it away from him. It is who he is. That's God's glory is intrinsic. Man's glory is different. Man's glory is granted to him. It's granted to him. So let's take this illustration. We talked about Queen Victoria a minute ago. Let's envision a king in our minds. What would you envision a king? You'd envision a king with a nice gold crown, a big robe, a big golden scepter. Right? Maybe a big jewel here on necklaces that are coming down with these beautiful clothes, sits on a throne. That would be what we envision a king. Now, let me ask you this. Take away the robe. Take away the crown. Take away the scepter. Take away all the jewelry, all the clothes. Don't let him bathe for a month. Don't let him brush his teeth for a month. Don't let him comb his hair for a month. Don't give him adequate food for a month. And then sit him underneath a bridge next to a homeless man. And you will not be able to tell the difference. Why? Because the glory of man is granted. See it? It's not intrinsic. All of us the same way. We all got ready today. We all look nice today. We sprayed on cologne and perfume. We brushed our teeth. We got ready to go. We stayed in the AC as long as we possibly could. But you know what? If you took away from us a bath, a toothbrush, a comb for a month, we wouldn't look any different than any homeless person you're going to pass on the way home. Because there's no intrinsic glory to us. It's only granted glory. So if you're like, man, I'm popular. So what? It will fade. I'm beautiful. If you're a lady, you'll get more and more beautiful the older you get. But if you're a man, you'll get uglier and uglier the longer you live, right? I'm no fool. There's no granted glory. I mean, there's no intrinsic glory. It's just granted. It's just stuff that we have, right? Things that we ordain ourselves with put onto ourselves to try to shine forth. And that's well, and that's good. That's fine. That's awesome. But the intrinsic glory of God is different. And here's what happens. Let's solve the world's problems in just one step. Let's realize that when you realize you have been granted glory, you don't have it on your own. It humbles you so that you turn to a Savior. And you say, Jesus, I need your forgiveness. I need you to wash me clean. I need you to change my life because I don't have enough. I can't get to heaven on my own. I need you. You've got the intrinsic. I just got some shirts, some Bible verses up here somewhere. I just show up at church. I need your intrinsic glory through the cross of Jesus Christ to wash me clean so that I can be assured that I would go to heaven when I die and that I would live for eternity because I don't have the stuff to live for eternity. I'm no better than a homeless man. You give me a month and I'd look just the same. What happens with that, then the playing field is leveled because God's great and man's not. And now it doesn't matter what race you are. Doesn't matter what school you went to. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter if you're a homeless man or a king of a country. You have the same value before God's eyes. Do you see it? And now there's no snobbery. There's no prejudice. There's no racism. All of that stuff is taken care of. Yeah, let's cheer for that. That'd be a good moment, wouldn't it? Heaven shines with the glory of God. Is that incredible? Is that amazing? Is that awesome? Yes, it is. So let's don't get too satisfied on planet Earth. I was in Walmart a couple days ago. I kind of like going to Walmart, actually. I mean, where can you buy bananas and a bicycle in the same place? I mean, it's amazing, right? So if you ever need bananas and a bicycle, I'm going to Walmart. That's where I'm going to go. So I went to Walmart, and oddly enough, I didn't need either one of those, but to be able to be in Walmart, and so I was walking around, I was like, man, this place, you got everything, you know, now you got the grocery store, and you got everything. So I'm walking down this aisle, and this cute little girl, 4 years old, is sitting like, you know, in the part of the basket where, you know, the handle's here, and you're facing mom, that part of the basket. So she's sitting there, and I'm walking this way, so I'm walking towards her, looking her in the eye, cutest little thing, blonde hair, little pigtails, about 4 years old. And she looks up at her mom and kind of looks around at Walmart, and she said, literally, I quote, she says this, I could stay here all day. And the mom was like, no, we got to go. Mom was on the phone. Mom's got errands to run. I mean, how many of us are doing that with Earth? I could stay here all day. What's the mom know that the kid doesn't know? That there's far better places than Walmart. No offense to Walmart, but you don't want to stay there all day. You could live there for a year, I mean, in a back aisle, but you don't want to stay there all day. But so many of us, we're looking at heaven as like an inconvenience to our time on earth. And we're like a little kid saying, I could stay here all day. I've got all this granted glory, when really what we're missing out is God wants to give us or let us see his intrinsic glory. And your loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord, they don't want to come back. And John Bassanio, who our previous pastor, our pastor emeritus, he's in heaven right now worshiping without a church, without a temple, and he would not want to come back to our worship service today because it's the glory of God. And so if in your heart you're like, I could stay here all day, that's fine. Earth's got some good stuff, but let's even put our focus more on him to realize we're satisfied with Walmart, and the Lord's saying, hey, how about Neiman Marcus? And then some, and then some, and then some, and then some of what God can do. Look in the next passage of the scripture, the next verses in the scripture, and I'm going to show you the two more things about the greatness of heaven. Here it is in verse 24. The nations will walk by its light. Now let's just comma there for just a second. What do you think about when you think about nations? We think about wars. We think about poverty. Have you ever been to a nation that there's more poor people than there are middle class? Make you sad walking down the street. It's a difficult thing to grow up in those places, those third world and even further than third world countries. And it says the nations, everybody that has trusted Christ, the nations, no more war, no more poverty, the nations will walk by the light. And the kings of earth will bring their glory into it. What are they going to do? They're going to lay their crowns right there at the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Bring all your granted glory and then lay it down for his intrinsic glory. Verse 25, this is what I want you to really hear. Its gates will never close by day because it will never be night there. The gates never close and it'll never be night there. Night is gone. No more night, true safety. No more night, true safety. Why do I say true safety? Here's what it meant when they were talking about the gates closing. What would they do in walled off cities way back when in those times? When it was nighttime, you'd close the gate. Why? Because you didn't want the invaders coming in at night. And you'd post up people on the wall. You'd do that whole thing. You'd close up the gates at nights. And here's what he says. In this place of heaven, there's never night. And the gates never close. They never close. The gates never close. It's always safe. It's always safe. Now, we don't live in a place where we close the gates of the city, but you know what? You close the gates every night at your house, don't you? Think about it. In the daytime, the garage door might be open. It's a pretty day in the spring. You may have the windows open. Back door might be unlocked. Kids are going in and out. But what happens at night? The garage door closes. The doors get shut. We make sure everything's locked up. We turn on the alarm. If you don't do that, welcome to Houston for the 3 days you've lived here. You should start now, okay? That's the deal. But we close up the city gates. Is everybody tucked into their beds? Is everybody safe? Has everybody got all they need? We close up the city gates and we say there's a place of safety. We want to close up the city gates. Kelly and I, we spent a summer in China in a walled city where literally throughout history they would close up the gates. We could see that walled city and the gates that they would close up. And it was a place of safety. And I want you to know, this is a place of safety. And all of our fears and all of our hurts, it's safe. There's no alarm systems. There's no locks. There's no worry. There's no, let's don't go to that place at that time of night. There's no wondering who's behind you. It's safe. No wondering who's going to hurt you. Now, let me take night and let me turn the dial just a different way. Let's just talk just kind of personally. We're talking heavenly. Let's just kind of talk just our own hearts. Here's the deal. Nights, if you're going through a difficult time, are usually the hardest part. Nights are the hardest part. Here's what I hear from friends that have lost a child, lost a spouse, lost a loved one, someone in that home. Here's what I hear from them. Nights are the most difficult time. The busyness of the day, the light in the windows, the TV's on, but when you get to that place where you've kind of watched enough TV and the phone's not ringing anymore and there's no more errands to run and everything calms down and the house gets quiet, it gets really, really hard. And I want you to hear there's no more night. There's no more night. For those that are in the throes of work and of school, students, you're staying up late into the night to study. Parents, as you're working and you're doing all the stuff at the office, or single adults as well, there's times that you'll finally lay down. You'll lay down after a long day and you'll finally get to sleep and your body will finally come down. And then what will happen is in your brain, it's sort of just kind of neuroscience, bam, you wake up in the middle of the night. It's like a fire alarm went off, bam, 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 bam. And your body's like, we can't rest. No, we can't rest. We got to be ready for fight or flight. And we begin to think and think and think and think and think and think and roll it over, roll it over, roll it over. Here's what I found personally in my life. It's always worse at night. The problems are always worse at night. It feels like there's 10,000 people around you. And the day you open up the windows, there's nobody around you. And it's always worse at night. I know my path at night. I can wake up from my bed and I can walk the path without even turning on the light to find my place of prayer, to find a place to get a drink of water or whatever it is, to be able to come through and to just spend some time and say, Lord, man, I'm a little bit worried about the church. I'm a little bit worried about family. I'm a little bit worried about this. I'm a little worried about that. And it's just like that 2 o'clock in the morning. But then in the morning, it's like, why did I spend all that time? It'd been better for me to just sleep. Then I'd be tired running around all night. God's awake anyway. He can let me go to sleep, right? Nights are hard, and I want you to hear a great thing about heaven. There's no more night because there's no more grief, because there's no more stress, because every tear will be wiped away, because every problem is being taken care of. That is an amazing, amazing thing. Now, let me give you one more thing on this point. I've been reading 1 Kings chapter 19 is a great passage of scripture the last couple of days, and it's just a great passage. And here's what it says in there. In chapter 19, what it is, it's about Elijah goes, and he's just been in a battle with all of the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. That's chapter 18. He's had this tremendous victory. Then Jezebel is coming after him, and she's going to try to kill him. So big, strong Elijah gets afraid. He gets upset. So in verse 4, he says this, big, strong Elijah. I mean, this is a prophet. This is a big-time man of God. He says in verse 4, I've had enough. I've had enough. Lord, take my life. In chapter 19, same chapter, verse 10, he says this in verse 10 and verse 14, I'm alone. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. And then in verse 18, God says this, and some miracles happen in between that. Angels provide him food. God passes by. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the wind. He's in the still small voice. And then in this verse 18, then God says this, I've got, you think you're all alone, Elijah? I got 7,000 people who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. 7,000 in Israel that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. Here's the point. Your troubles, it may be 7,000 times better than you think it is. Elijah thinks he's all by himself. It may be 7,000 times better than you think it is in that moment. You don't know. I don't know. We're just looking at this, aren't we? But the Bible tells us the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits. That there is no night, the gates never shut. You're emotionally safe. You're physically safe. Some of you need to hear it. You're sexually safe. And the gates never close, and God is right there, and you're worshiping him face to face. In the light rays that are hitting your arm are his glory, of his grace, of his justice, of his mercy, of his eternality, of his righteousness, of his goodness, of his love, of his kindness, all of that. And then you're there, and this world's a dot on a line of eternity. That's amazing. That's amazing. So let's don't say, I could stay here all day. Let's say, Lord, I want to go with you. Not in some type of death wish, by no means am I saying that, but in a way of saying, I long for my true citizenship of heaven. I long for it, and I trust you for it. The fourth and final thing that I want you to be encouraged for yourself, for your loved one as well, it's found in verse 27. Nothing unclean will ever enter it. Imagine, nothing soiled, nothing dirty. Nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is key. Only whose name is written into the Lamb's Book of Life. No falsehoods, only trusters of truth. No falsehoods, only trusters of truth. As I land the plane, I want to give you this fourth thing about heaven, about where you're headed, about maybe a loved one who knows the Lord is right now. Is it says, who's going to be there? How do you get to heaven is what verse 27 is saying, which is really the eternal question. It's the biggest question any of us should ask. How do I know that I'm going to that place? And it says this, only those whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me tell you about the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, who's the Lamb? The Lamb is Jesus. Jesus was the Lamb that was slain for your sins. He died on the cross during a time called Passover. Rewind back to Egypt. Passover was a time you would take a lamb and you would take its blood after you slayed it and you would put it over the doorpost of your house and the death angel would go over your house and you would live because of the blood that was over you. So Jesus' blood shed on the cross goes over the doorpost of your heart so that your faith is not in yourself. Your faith is in Jesus Christ. It's his blood that's done this. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not the denomination's book of life. It's not the church's book of life. It's not the good works book of life. It's not the I'm a nice guy book of life. It's not the I went on a mission trip book of life. It's not that I'm trying not to cuss anymore book of life. It is the Lamb's Book of Life. So how do you get your name in it? Well, first of all, you don't write your own name. Who writes it? The Lamb is the one that writes it. Because it's not based on your own works. If it was your book of life, it'd be called the human book of life, right? Your name, book of life. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. So Jesus Christ, who's the centerpiece of this moment, of every moment, but in heaven with the throne and the lamp is the Lamb. He is slain for our sins. Millions of lambs were slain throughout the Old Testament to cover up sins. But John said, same person that wrote Revelation, John said in chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world." So how do we know we're going to heaven? We've trusted in the Lamb of God, placed our sins at his cross, and received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And then the Lamb who was slain for our sins lives in our heart because I've trusted him alone. Now watch. The Lamb's book of life. What kind of life? Eternal life. Not because of my granted glory. Not because I'm a pastor. But because I know the Lamb. Because he will never fade and I can trust in him. So if you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, if you don't know for sure Jesus Christ is your Savior, how do you come to know and know that your name's written there? You don't write it with your own pen. A denomination doesn't write it. A church doesn't write it. A priest doesn't write it. A pastor doesn't write it. Your mama doesn't write it. Nobody writes it but the Lamb. And you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to be slain, bled, blood poured over your life of forgiveness. And that's total grace. Total grace. And at every campus, you'll have the opportunity in just a moment to do that. And those of us that have done that and trusted Jesus, then let's long for heaven like we never have before. All the things that got you down on earth, long for heaven. All these things will just go by the wayside, really, in coming days. And we'll be in eternity and be able to see the Lord forever. Let me show you last illustration and then we're done. And you won't want to miss this. This will touch your heart. This little girl named Karis. Her father arrived back at Fort Carson in Colorado after spending 9 months serving our country, being deployed in Kuwait and Jordan. And they lined up for the homecoming ceremony. And I want to show you three pictures of what it looked like for this little girl. First of all, she couldn't wait. She said, "Daddy's home, and I'm going." And she took off running to him. Then she embraced him. And then she stood with him. And I'm telling you, that's how we long for heaven. That's how we long for heaven. Not, man, I could spend all day here on planet Earth. I got a Savior. His name's Jesus. And he's done so much for me and still does and still will. And at one point, in some moment, in some time, I'll step into eternity. You'll step into eternity. Your loved one has stepped into eternity. Whatever it is, and you'll make a beeline and you'll run to him. And he'll embrace you and he'll hold you and he'll hug you and he'll say this, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Does that mean you were perfect? No. But does it mean that the blood of the Lamb is over your life and you've been forgiven? Yes. And you'll live and I'll live in a place, having trusted Christ, of intrinsic glory of God where there's not even a need for the sun because his glory is so bright. Do you want to go there? Do you know that you're going there? Yes. If you're not sure, come talk to somebody. If the trials have got you and the night's so black, just know it's probably 7,000 times better than you think it is. And he wants to welcome you into his arms so that we can just lay our crowns before him. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you, God, have secured our names never to be erased, never to fade, that if we've trusted you as Savior, then the Lamb's book of life, it's written our name. I'm grateful, Lord, that Gregory John Mott is written in the Lamb's book of life, not through anything I have done, but through the blood of the Lamb that was slain to pay for my sin. And I've placed my trust and faith in him alone for salvation. So whatever storms come in our lives, Lord, they can never take that name, our names, out of that book if we've trusted you. If you're here at any of our campuses, online, listen on the radio, whatever it is, you've never trusted Jesus as the Lamb of God, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. Please, please, I'm pleading with you to take this time seriously. If you want to know for sure that you're going to heaven, that you would pray. As I pray, you could just repeat after me. It's not some kind of lucky charm prayer. It's just trying to lead you a bit. You got to mean it. You got to want it. You got to be running like that little girl. But you just pray with me. Jesus, I believe that you are the Lamb that died for my sins. I know that I've sinned and I ask for forgiveness. Wash my heart clean and live inside me. You are my only hope for heaven. I place all my trust in you. Write my name in the Lamb's book of life through salvation in Jesus Christ alone. If you prayed that, eternity shifted for you. If you meant it with your heart and your soul, if you're a believer in Christ, would you just tell God how much you long for heaven? To see loved ones for sure, but they're not the centerpiece of heaven. They're not on the throne. Tell them how much you want to see him and love him as well as the loved ones. All of our campuses, there'll be people that'll be down front that would love nothing more than to pray with you and for you, answer any question you have, join the church, question about salvation. Come to the front and pray on your own, whatever it is. Lord, we love you, and may you be the center on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name.